Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, it's your girl, Titi Torres, and let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a mother, a wife, plus a 20-year multimedia executive and personality,
and your host of Tap In with Titi, the podcast,
where the culture speaks loud and clear. I'm having conversations with your favorite artists, rising stars, movers and shakers,
from the streets to the boardrooms, from healing to hustle.
New episodes every week on the Odyssey Creators Live,
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your audio.
So tap in with me, Titi.
What are you waiting for?
Booze and banter.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Roman. How are you?
I'm good. Tired, but good. And I'm actually excited.
You see, Artie, like it's like five words, and it's like one was a complaint,
followed by excitement.
You're excited that you're complaining.
I'm always excited when we have a guest in the show. What do you want me to say?
Well, because the first like 100 episodes or so is just us.
Yeah, oh,
wow. Close to it, you know.
Yeah, but and yeah. You know, you get tired of your partner.
After episode one, right?
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Sean, introduce yourself.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. My name's Sean Mullen, and those of you out on social media would know me as Beerhead for the Win. I got the moniker because I post a lot of beers with a ton of head, like probably twice as much, maybe 10 times as much as this. thanks for having me on.
Guys. Yeah, of course. So Instagram is Beerhead FTW, right?
FTW,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And I'm on TikTok a little bit too, but mostly Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. We just started, well, it's probably a year now we did TikTok, right?
You pioneered that, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I still don't know the fuck we're doing, right? You just get in there and just hope it works, right?
No, you throw whatever you can at the wall. Yeah. Like, if it sticks, cool.
It's like, amazing what people are like, oh, this thing's just stupid. I was fucking put out now, and then it's like 100,000, 106,000 likes or something. People like that bullshit?
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
I had one, and it was the first anything they put out, either on TikTok or Instagram, that like blew up a little bit. And I did this pour of a 17.2% Imperial Stout. like, just as thick as you can get. And I had like my signature glass there, and it like overflowed perfectly. And I had timed it up with great music. And I posted it, and like nothing happened for a week. And then we were doing our It's a Wonderful Life weekend in Seneca Falls.
We went to that. From.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Two years ago, though.
Oh,
yeah, not the last
one. The last one. The actual last one they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Did you guys do the run? Okay. It was that weekend 2 years ago, and my phone started blowing up, and I kept looking over at it, and all of a sudden that one video was up to like 10,000 views, and then it was 20,000 views, and here I'm like, come on, way, the likes go up, and you guys have seen the comments go like, oh, what is this guy doing? Oh, he's terrible. He doesn't know how to pour a beer.
Yeah.
This is motor oil. Who would drink this? I got all
motor oil, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like. It was really cool. So it died down after a day. Sure enough, the next week, the next Saturday, it blew up again. It just kept going. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. Yeah. It took a break.
I wonder how that works. Like, what causes that? Like,
great question.
Why is it like, I wish there was an answer so that as, people who post or influencers or whatever would understand it better. So be like, oh, okay. So this is what people like, this is what I'm going to do.
Right. You'd think it would be that easy, but
that's a Chinese algorithm. Like, nobody knows, right?
Man, it's
yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, but whenever I post on like a reel on Instagram, if it makes sense to post it on TikTok, then I'll throw it up there. But it's always like the second thing. And if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't, whatever. It's out there.
So how do you determine if something is going to go on Instagram or TikTok?
If I'm posting just straight pictures, I obviously leave TikTok out of it because they only want videos.
They do, yeah.
When it comes to the reels that I post and the videos that I post on Instagram, if it's something Instagram specific, then I'm not going to think about TikTok at all. Doing the awards was a big thing that just happened this past.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I did a lot of reels for that, but I knew like who on TikTok would care about that. I mean, half the people that follow me on TikTok follow me on Instagram anyway, so whatever, but... that was That's kind of the determining factor. Like, will people care about this over there? Like, am I just pushing Instagram on another platform?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to help me out at all with that. And I get that.
Are you able to see what your demographic is on TikTok?
No, I have no idea.
Really?
You guys have seen it. I'm sure you get it on YouTube, right? Yeah. Where you can like see specific.
You can see like device that they're using. And like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Like desktop. And then it tells you gender, age group.
Age.
Location,
yeah.
Device, and whether it's so, it's something different. It's device and then mobile or desktop.
Oh, so you can like get really down into that.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah, it's crazy.
I think and a lot of those details are from your like podcast hosts.
Oh wow, that's fantastic.
The YouTube, is YouTube that detailed as well?
YouTube is not that detailed.
Okay.
You can't. I don't think you can tell devices like that, but you can, you know, certainly tell all the other stuff. And then,
but it's cool to see like a map of the world and all these locations that are listening to your podcast.
Yeah, it like, makes really? You feel like bigger than like you feel like you are at the moment.
Yeah, right? It's like, what are you guys listening to in India or like Australia?
Yeah right. Oh, God,
look at these guys are funny.
Or like, look at these idiot Americans.
Yeah, right. You call that a beer?
So
I'll
what
show
is,
you a beer.
What is it with the heads on your beer? Like you just like the foam?
So the whole thing started off as a bit of a joke. So forever, whenever I would pour a beer, I would just kind of get sick and tired of waiting for, you know, that 45 degree angle. It's going to be what it's going to be. So I just, yeah.
I do the same thing. So I just do it because I'm impatient. Like you just,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I just get the beer in the glass. It's going to settle at some point, right? Like if I get some, you know, foam on my mustache, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. So I was posting forever and, you know, everyone has a WhatsApp chat with their buddies and we've got one for beer specifics, specifically. So we would, post every single beer that we would pour or have at a restaurant or at a bar. And so like, it's just peppered with pictures and all my friends would make fun of me all the time about this. This is like 2015 through like COVID, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, screw you guys. I'm going to make something of this. That guy, you know, one of my friends made a whole like baseball chirping Instagram account and it did really, really well. I'm like, I'm going to do that for, you know, Beerhead. So I did and it blew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It became something that I never expected it to be. So now like I was pouring it just, you know, naturally with some head. Now I go for gold. I don't care. Like if it overflows, I'm going to get a picture of it. It's going to look great for Instagram. Right. My wife has, she's invested a lot of money in tea towels because I cleaned up that counter a lot.
Yeah.
God bless her. She puts up with a lot of that. Now it's just how I pour, but it's interesting. I can, whenever I go to a restaurant or a bar and, you know, they pour with very little foam, I get bloated immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm in my early 40s and, you know, you guys like know when your body gets a little older, that's going to happen. You're going to get blown up a little quicker. So I kind of shy away from it when I'm out in public now, just because I know I can only maybe do one, but at home, if I'm going to foam it up and I'll get, you know, out of a, you know, can like this, I'll get two or three even pours.
I see. Okay.
It makes me feel like I'm getting more bang for my buck.
Like economical drinking, right?
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
And I don't get bloated because you're getting rid of all that CO2.
I see.
Yeah, we did listen to someone on Instagram or whatever we saw it. They said if you foam it up like that, less acidic it is.
Yeah. And it just, it makes you feel better. You can drink for longer. I don't know. I've experienced benefit, like crazy weird health benefits.
Health
because,
benefit, yes.
Right? Like,
beer is healthy.
If only, right?
Yeah.
But that's how all of this started. So my friend who had that baseball account gave me some advice. He said, all right, like go back in our chat history, find every single picture you've sent and just blow up your Instagram for the first 2 weeks. So I did.
Yep. Yeah.
I had like 50 or 60 posts in the first 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I hit 1,000 followers like that. People just gravitated to it.
Yeah. You got to find a niche, right? Like things you don't even think it's... Like, it's just weird stuff people, like a girl, like even with clothes on, they'll only post like one eye. Like it's them talking, but it's only like one eye. Like, what the fuck? And then
half the face.
It blows up. Like,
then that's her thing, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. You got to find it. You know? You're probably going to eat hot dogs or something.
That'll be my niche.
Yeah, that'll be your niche.
Have you done the 999 challenge?
No.
What's that?
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh man. All right. Okay. So speaking of beer, so you go to a baseball game or you watch a baseball game on TV. So 9 innings, you have to eat 9 hot dogs and have 9 beers with it.
No. Okay. Done.
With the bun?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Like full hot dogs.
Okay.
Full beers. Like not like necessarily the 16-ounce cans, but like at least 12-ounce.
Okay.
So 9 of those, and you got to get it done through the game.
I think I can do it.
Well, so the thing is, right, I think I could do it too, but then what if it's a quick inning? You're like, fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did it. I still have pictures on my phone from because my face afterward looked like death, and my wife got a picture of it and sent it to my friends, like, just to, like, prove that it was done. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But the worst part isn't the beer, it's the hot dogs.
Probably.
Yeah, and if you get a quick inning.
Not hot dogs, you just.
Right?
Yeah.
If you get a pitcher's duel, the game's over in, you know, just over 2 hours.
Right.
Versus if, you know, the bomb's going out of the park, you're sitting on a 3-hour game, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so 9 beers and 9 hot dogs in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Now I'm rethinking.
Well, the other challenge for you is you've got to pour a beer and get it 100% foam. So I don't know how you can do it. You just got to be like, wham, and then start drinking it.
Pretty much. Well, and then, like, if you actually want to get through it, you just got to sit there and wait, but, like, dude, like, that guy just got out. There's a fly out. There's, you know, a 10-pitch inning. Oh, God. Oh, what am I going to do, right?
Bases are loaded. So get a bigger mug and just foam the shit out of a 12-ounce.
Yeah, that's exactly what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
The game that I was watching, it was a Jays game. And it was 2 hours and 20 minutes was the final. My wife's a Mets fan, so we're talking like, all right, which one's going to be better? We picked the game with the worst pitchers, and sure enough, the Mets game is the one that went for over 3 hours.
Yeah.
But that's what we did. I got this gigantic, like, 24-ounce glass mug, mm-hmm. and in the last inning, I had, like, 3 beers left, so I was drinking Corona, mm-hmm. and I just, like, started throwing them in there. All right, I know what I got to do, and...
Just get a cooler. Just get an Igloo cooler. Just...
Okay, so, and any beer.
Yeah.
It's got to be any beer. If you put a barley wine in, you're fucked.
It can be any beer.
Well, I want to clarify this. Can it be an NA?
Oh, you know what?
We're setting the rules now. This is, we're on the board. You're the president.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
So, frankly, the alcohol was not a factor.
Okay.
So that's why I would be like, okay, why not? NA, go ahead. Because, like, really those hot dogs fill you up.
Yeah.
Dip the hot dog in the beer.
Right? You have to have a strategy for this, right?
You got
to
come up. I was at a party, like a picnic recently, and this guy won and got this trophy for eating 11 hot dogs with the bond. And then... We're all celebrating. There's other trophies. And then we turn around. He's yakking in the trash can. They stripped him of the trophy. Gave it to the runner-up.
Oh, that's the worst. That poor guy.
You put your body through that. You know, it's like, you know what an x-ray's got to look like or something on your stomach after you eat that?
Oh,
like,
my
what
God.
What that looks like inside?
Well, just like how, like, expanded
everything.
It is.
Like, just what is it? I think what is it physically? Like, you got, like, bread with greasy hot dog and bubbly yellow shit in it.
That'd be a definition of a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
But with the grease, with the bubbly yellow, like,
probably do making that same noise.
Oh my God. No, that day sucked. So when I finished, and I had a strategy for the hot dogs going in too. Like, I mowed the lawn just before I knew when the game was going to start.
Okay.
So I mowed the lawn to work up the appetite.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Didn't matter.
No.
No. You do like 3 right off the bat. You get 2 down and you're like, man, I got 4 left to go. Oh, that doesn't look good. And it is what it is.
Skip breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, exactly. When I finished, I fell asleep for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't do anything.
Did you throw up?
No, I didn't.
No,
that was one of the stipulations. If you threw up, because... I lost a fantasy baseball side bet. That's why I had to do this.
Shit.
Okay.
So the deal was if I hurled at any point or didn't finish it, mm-hmm. I'd have to do it again.
Oh my God.
So no, I
that
was
suck, man. Eat hot dogs. Fuck, start over.
Yeah, I gotta do it tomorrow, I guess. Like, yeah. It was, yeah. So no, no.
Oh my God.
So kind of like the guy who lost his after eating 11 dogs.
Wow. I feel bad.
Well, Joey Chestnut could do 60.
Like, how?
I
think he's got his stomach stretched or something.
I don't know. But then they're only water, so maybe it's different with the bloating piece because there's no alcohol, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Did you see that meme I posted? Like, Joey Chestnut, 60 wieners in 2 minutes, and then it's got a girl, a lady saying,
hold my beer, Joey. I did see that.
Hold my beer.
I saw that. Oh, my God. But, like, seriously, how can that happen?
Right.
Even
the women do it because there's a women chain. Yeah. I mean, it's maybe 40 or something.
But yeah, still. But like still a crazy amount of food.
Yeah, it's Jenna Jameson's dream right there.
I've eaten 72 sushis once.
Oh, like individual rolls?
Like individual rolls. Not like
a, how long? Like how long how it take long? You?
Like just like at like a dinner?
Sit
like
out at the restaurant.
Good for you. Wow.
Well, if you don't finish it, they charge you $1 per piece. I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to finish this. So
did you order all 72 at once?
No. Like the table ordered extra. And we're like, fuck, that's a lot. So this like med student and I'm like, all right, dude, let's put these down. So we counted 72.
And like sushi, like that, you feel full
rice,
really quick.
And like, yeah, it fills you up.
Oh my God, 72 pieces.
Yeah.
Was it
I
like,
didn't throw up.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Mostly like salmon. Was it cooked, uncooked, like variety?
A variety, like you know, no sashimis.
Yeah.
But it was just like you get a roll with a bunch of pieces on there.
72.
That's probably the most food I've ever eaten.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Yeah. Like, did you eat like 3 days later after that, or what?
I probably skipped lunch and breakfast the following day.
You're right. Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Oh, but, cheers to that, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, food.
Let's cheers.
Food's good.
So we should cheers now.
We need to switch.
Oh, okay. We'll wait till we get to the other beers because you still got to finish that.
I have a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll be done.
Yeah. 999.
Cool. Yeah. No, seriously. It was, man, those last four dogs were just looking at me like.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
It's a thing. So I also posted it on my Instagram at the time, just because a few of my Instagram friends wanted to know how things were going. So it was like, all right, I'm going to send this to my friends, you know, with whom I lost the fantasy baseball bet to. Yeah. And then I'm going to post this. And since I did that, at least that summer, like four other accounts gave it a shot and like tagged me in it. And like, hey, man, so what'd you do with this? And we're like comparing strategies and what was the worst part for you? What about you?
Yeah.
That could also become a big thing, you know?
Maybe.
Nationwide.
Took a little extra time because I was licking each hot dog before I ate it.
So I forget what ballpark it was. At the beginning of this season, they introduced the 999 challenge, but the hot dogs were like half the size. The beers were like maybe a
at
sippy
the stadium?
Cup. At the stadium.
Oh, okay.
So like, if you're doing that, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
No. You got to go for the full dog, full beer.
That's like freshman, because JV is you know, something else. And then varsity level is this, because first of all, who's going to buy 9 beers at a fucking stadium?
Exactly.
At like $20 a beer?
Right.
Like what the fuck? You know?
I have a good marketing strategy for this. Every ballpark rents out a box. Okay. So you pay, say, $100 to get in.
Okay.
And you're going to get 9 hot dogs, 9 beers. And so everybody who pitches in and goes into the box to watch, they have to, whoever wins, right? So they have to challenge.
Like to
so
see
the
challenge if you can do it first?
Yeah. And then, you know, during break or whatever, they can do like live broadcasts on the screen. So like people who are sitting in the audience can see what's going on there.
That's a great idea.
And then the winner gets free ride next time. And he doesn't have to eat anything. Like, he doesn't have to compete, but he gets to be in the box.
Are the Syracuse Mets watching this?
Yeah.
Because they should totally do this. That's a great idea.
Because that'll be fun. Because people will be, like, cheering. You know, like, they can be like, yeah, go, like, so-and-so. Like, there's a name.
And so from the contract side of things, everything's got to have a waiver beforehand.
Yeah, of course. Because, like,
you know, I don't want your atorvastatin bill when you're in the wherever. Yeah, right. And I don't want your DWI, Tom Nelly. I don't want any of that bullshit.
Got to take your blood pressure before and after just to see. Yeah, right.
They're all adults, you know.
But you mean like have a tournament, like a hot dog tournament?
No, like who can finish it first,
the
right?
999. Yeah.
They're like beer drinkers in general, women, men and women. They like the challenge.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of people. How are you going to fit them all in this fucking box?
You almost have to go like every like other Saturday or something like that and get like what, 5 to 10 people.
Yeah. The first 10 people.
Just limit. Like, okay. So let's say, for example, have you ever been in the box at a baseball stadium?
I've been in a box.
I mean, they're pretty big. Like, I've been, like, they have a catering. they have catering and like lots of food and chairs and tables.
Yeah.
You fit quite a bit of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make it super packed, but let's say the box costs, I don't know, $2,000 a game or whatever.
Sure.
So put $100 per person, 20 people in.
Yeah.
And compete.
And that includes your hot dog and your beer.
Yeah, includes your hot dog, beer.
And then so someone wins that. Yeah. How do you win? who's done first.
Well, but yeah, whoever finishes the 999 challenge first, and like, yeah, like no spilling, no crumbs, yeah, yeah, any of that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So then, if you throw up, like, disqualified.
Yeah. So then you have a 999 champion. Like, so if you do over six games,
oh,
you
gotta have a
seventh
idea.
Game, and then it's like the six champions that go.
You can keep going with that throughout the season if you want.
Like, what is it?
That's a great idea.
The World Series would be like the, you know, some other series. Yeah. Like World Series champion, this would be like Beer Series champion or 999 Series champion.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, Syracuse Mets. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You can do this throughout the entire season. Absolutely. And get a trophy. And then you get a trophy on the field with the same, if the team wins, you know what I mean?
Or that'd, like, be really cool.
Let's say the team didn't win, but you know, whatever the guy who won or a girl, and then you go out on the field and be like, receive your trophy.
Yeah.
You're dressed as the mascot.
Yeah.
Like, imagine how crazy people would go. And like, I think that's a great idea.
And it could be the mini beers. There's going to be like a 16 ounce or 12
ounce.
It's got to be a 12.
Well, then you're not paying $100 for this fucking thing.
$100 is, I mean.
No, $100 is right. But the beer is more than $100.
Really?
You're not. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, at a ballpark. Yeah. I agree. But I feel like,
but the ballpark gets it, what, for like $2?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's how they're making money.
You feel like if they advertise it too, be like, all right, we've got these five dudes that are coming in for the 999 challenge today.
Yeah.
You know, this guy. Here's their socials. Go check them out. Then it's like a whole thing.
But a three-time 999 champion.
If you push and you do good marketing, then let's say you break even. Let's say the stadium breaks even or even loses a little bit. The amount of people that would buy the tickets to come, not only to watch the game, but like see how it go, like how's the 999 challenge going?
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be fans like painting their bodies, 999. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Go Johnny.
Yeah, right. 100%.
Yeah. it's like its own game within a game.
So, yeah. So we'll tag Syracuse Mets, but it's all the right idea, but you probably couldn't do a box because I don't know how much they go. For when
you got to isolate it somehow.
Yeah, but we've been there for that amazing beer fest, and they got that whole little side thing in right field.
Yeah.
You know, the whole little
the salt deck.
Yeah, right. So you could do something or just kind of like, you know, barricade it off, because I think a box is like a few $1,000s, right?
It's got to be somewhere.
I have not been.
It's got to be somewhere where, at least some fans, if it's going to be outside, some cool.
And we need ring girls.
In the heat.
We need like inning girls.
But so just imagine though, like if you do have it out there with all these fans that can interact
That's
with
right.
it, yeah. you get a camera or a couple of cameras on them and just kind of go, you know, which one, and then you have like a almost like a ticker going throughout the game. All right, Johnny's at four dogs, three beers, and you know, Roman's at, you know, five dogs, five beers, and then everyone can like see the progress.
Even intermission, you get to see a jumbotron, and then you know,
exactly.
you got people talking shit. Like, so you got the bad guy. Who's like nobody likes, like, you know, so he's like, I thrive on that, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I think this is
and it could be male and female mixed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
you heard it here first.
We should do it.
For sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And us three will be there as part of it.
Yeah, we'll be the judges or something.
Yeah. Part-time participants.
Yeah. So since losing that bet, I've been trying to encourage all these other guys that are in the fantasy baseball chat to do this. And a couple of our wives are in it too. And so for the guy who I lost to, I'm like, all right, Jim, you got to do this. If I beat you this week, you have to do this. And his wife immediately chimes in. Nope, not happening. Well, we tried.
It's like, as a winner, you pass the torch.
No.
Right.
Yeah, because she's got laundry and clean up. No, none of that.
No, she's seeing like an ambulance bill for high blood pressure and a heart attack in her future. And like, she's like, no, we're going to make a smart choice here. I don't know what you did, but.
Make a smart choice, right?
Everyone saw your damage last year, Sean. Too bad.
Saw you damaged. Yeah.
Why do you only have one liver?
Yeah, right.
One kidney left. Right?
Your health history is like dropping you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I think we should do something like that. But I know we've been trying to get together for a while.
Yeah.
And we can't, and the schedule is different. So how long does it take you to get here?
45 minutes a straight shot.
Okay, so cool. You should make this every
Thank you. Yeah. But, and we connected through Instagram.
Yeah. And sorry I haven't
early
been
on,
able to.
Early on, we've been doing this 3 years, but I think you were like the first 6 months or so for us.
Yeah, I'm coming up on 5 years on the platform next week. But I'm sorry I haven't been able to make it out to some of the events. I really, really wanted to, but I'm two sons myself.
Yep.
And things always come up.
No, you know, we always talk things family get scheduled. First,
yeah, we know how it is.
But we got two more events coming up that people don't really know about yet. So maybe we'll announce it today.
Go ahead, announce it now.
So there's three more events really in September, We are the official media sponsor of the Taste of Beeville presented by Romano Subaru.
Whoa.
So we're going to do that. We're here on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a 13027 party.
Oh,
because,
cool.
You know, 13027, mm-hmm. Our zip code is 13027.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to host the party there. And then we're going to have our annual event, Hops on the Seneca 3.
Yeah.
That we'll have June 12th of next year.
Oh my gosh, so, that sounds so cool.
The trifecta.
Congrats, guys. Yeah.
Got to do this. Everybody do this right to the camera.
Yeah.
Like gang sign.
The 333.
Yeah. You know, that's the 333. Well, there's three of us. So it's 999.
Yeah, there you go. That's so cool that you guys are doing all of that.
Yeah, like, it's fun. It takes a lot of time, but you know, it's not easy.
No.
It takes a bit of your time, but
tell
it's
us
fun.
About the awards that you did.
Oh yeah. So that took a lot of time. Speaking of you know,
yeah.
Endeavors. Yeah, so I saw beginning of May, one of my friends on Instagram posted something about my other friend, Beard Jimmy.
Oh, saying, yeah, in Florida?
He's in Reno.
He is in Reno. See, he's I knew Reno. It, just spelled differently. Yeah, okay.
And he, so it was...
He's a great guy.
Oh, amazing guy. Yeah. I went to Beard Jimmy Fest in April, and that's another story, mm-hmm. too. That was a lot of fun. My friend posted something about... like, hey, if we had a, you know, best whatever, it would totally be Beer Jimmy for the beer community. I read that. I'm like, mm-hmm. we don't do community awards here. Other mm-hmm. communities do, and I know that. Why don't we do that? So I kind of, you know, started milling about that. And then I put it out to a few of the chats that I'm in. I put it out to my stories, and I said, hey, guys, like, I'd like to hear your ideas for awards or, like, how we could kind of pull this off. And sure enough, I got a lot of feedback. So from all of those award ideas, I got like hundreds of
That's
award
a great
ideas.
Community. Yeah.
Amazing community. Yeah. Really, really supportive too, which has been a lot of fun. I got a ton of feedback, ton of award ideas. And from that, I kind of pared it down to, okay, so what are the main themes here? What can we really go after? So I came up with 8 awards and nobody asked me to do this. I figured, yeah, I'm at this point, I'm probably a big enough account that I could pull this off. Go for it. And it was incredibly well received.
Excellent.
A couple little things here, there, and everywhere with the whole process, but for the most part, everyone loved it. It was, for a lot of people, it was an opportunity to express appreciation for other accounts and what other accounts have been doing.
And this is all virtual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not like a festival at a location.
Not at all.
Yeah.
This is all on Instagram. Yep, so yep. I teach second grade. I'm an elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, well after school, I was able to use my whiteboard and kind of finagle some things around that, just to, you know, post things. And so you definitely know it's not AI.
Right, right.
And it's not, you know, I'm terrible with Canva and digital tools and all that. So markers, whiteboard, that's where it was.
That's true.
It went well. People gravitated towards it. People were nominating others for awards, and there was lots of appreciation, lots of thanks. I got a lot of thank yous for doing this. But it took a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But it should be more efficient for you, right?
Definitely.
But then you don't know how much bigger it's going to get. So the efficiency you save is offset by how much more work you have to do for
exactly
the increase in size.
I wanted to have one thing to do a day, because if it's any more than that, it would take time away from the family, and I'm not doing that.
Yep.
So for the 8 awards, I kind of put it out there for nominations at first. All right, so if you see, you know, say I see Bruise and Banter, I think they'd be really great, but somebody already nominated them, I'm just going to like that. That's going to count as a nomination. So
I see.
When I got all the nominations for all 8 awards, I went through every single comment and who liked mm-hmm. every single comment. And I had pages and pages of this foolscap paper. I did it all by hand.
Right.
Oh my God.
I'm sure there's a way to do it with technology, right?
I think there's an app for this, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I think there is.
I
people vote here and then it tabulates it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I ended up using the poll feature in Instagram for the actual voting, but that was another thing too. So, after I got all the nominations, I was trying to go for a top 3. If there's a top 4, cause there was a tie for 3rd, fine. Not the end of the world. Because you can only do 4, you can only, sorry, what's it? You can go up to 5 things for the poll on Instagram, but you can only like add 4 people as a collaborator or something like that.
Yeah.
So okay. I was kind of restricted a little bit with that. So once I figured all that out, and I every single day I would put up a new award for voting, then it became a popularity contest. But for every single one that I put up, I said, listen, only beer accounts can vote. If you are somebody's aunt or somebody's uncle or that friend from over there and you don't post about beer, you're not a part of this community, I'm going through and I'm taking your vote out.
Yeah, yeah.
And some awards were worse than others.
Were you nominated? Did people nominate you?
Oh, they tried. But that was another thing. I could not be nominated because I'm just a facilitator. I don't get nominated. I can't vote either.
Honestly, I saw this. We're both business owners. It's tough, right? Yep. But I didn't see this until I didn't know anything about the whole thing happening until I think the results were announced.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't know, but it's our fault for not.
Well, it could be like if algorithm didn't push it on our.
Exactly.
You know, because I see accounts that I haven't seen in a while. I'm like, oh, I haven't liked these guys in a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not actually going and searching, it will randomly pop up and whatever the algorithm is pushing it.
Yeah. It's been pushing a lot of ads recently for me. I'll actually have to go up to the top and like pull up the following list.
So you're talking about Instagram, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, cause there's all these things, but they keep fucking changing things.
That's infuriating.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was getting 400 and 500 likes per post.
Yeah.
Now I'm lucky if I get 150.
Yeah. Same with the reach. It used to be like, you know, 300, 250,000, 150,000. Now it's like, 75 or 100.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't really know what they changed.
It's like they don't want us to succeed all the time.
75,000 or 100,000, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Yep.
And there have been so many accounts on Instagram and TikTok that have just given it up because like I'm putting all this effort in and I'm only getting this. Like,
And then they change it and make it harder for you again. It's like discouraging.
Yes.
It's like they want more creators, but then you're discouraging people from keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then now this is what you do, right? So you don't have, I mean, we got to get back to this, the whole word thing, but you don't have any sort of podcast or anything. This is what you do. This is your platform.
Instagram primarily.
Yeah.
So it's been very, very frustrating.
Well, we're here for you to drink and support.
I mean, you've had good insights that also Frank adapted that into our Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about that, but you got to finish the awards thing, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to hear that. After I got all the nominations, I got the voting going, and then I had to go through all the votes, every single account. And if I was already following them, they were definitely a Beerstagram account already. I knew that. If I wasn't following them, then I had to figure out how they were connected to the community, if they were. Some awards, I got rid of, maybe a handful of votes for certain people. Others, I got rid of like 25 for one person because it was clearly family and friends.
I see.
And you want it to be fair. So that was like, I could not have cared who won each award. Mm-hmm. I really didn't care. Mm-hmm. I just wanted it to be done the right way. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I did justice by the community. And it wasn't like one award came down to one or two votes. I think the closest was like 13 away. So it was what it was.
Did we get any nominations?
Actually, you might have gotten one or two.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't know. I don't. Like I said, I didn't see it, but Roman says, how do you know what's getting pushed to, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was hoping that people were going to share it out and put it out that way, and that happened a lot. Everyone's like, oh man, we want to thank you. It's like I gained over 100 followers from this. I followed myself over 90 accounts just from people who were engaged with it. And it really built the community up and it made more people connect with others. And hopefully it like gave the algorithm a little bit of a boost.
Yeah. And
go ahead, sorry. So the algorithm piece, like you're limited to who you can invite.
Yeah.
But you can still tag anybody. Mm-hmm. You can still tag. So even if you were to tag people, they can still push it out. They're just not a collaborator on it.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And something like that also helps to be exposed more. So there's probably account holders who are like, oh, cool. I didn't know this guy exists. I'm going to follow him. Right.
Exactly.
So like that exposure also helps.
And this is across the country. Like you're not limited to like Syracuse or.
Oh, it's throughout the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I went global with it. Although I will say one of the changes we're going to make for next year is I want to get more non-English speaking accounts involved. I had maybe a handful. The Germany crew was strong. This year, really fucking, strong.
They make cars and they drink beer. Those fuckers just don't mess around, right?
Well, and they're awesome on social media.
Great, man. And they're funnier and shit. Same with the UK people, right?
They're I don't know what it is. Yeah. So UK blue, UK, Australia, New Zealand.
Australia.
And in Germany, we're huge.
Yeah.
They came through, but I didn't get a ton of other accounts from other languages popping up. I want that to change because I really do want this to be a global thing.
Well, you're going to be in regional at some
point. We've been getting quite a bit of European followers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a bit, you know, like, and not just beer, like they're wine or whiskey or bourbon enthusiasts. And they're not from here.
Awesome. Well, and you've seen a lot of our stuff. We you know, whatever it is, right? We started with this, but now it's just everybody. Like we've had
you guys are diversified.
Sports and books and like veteran all these things. So like, but this is where my heart is, Roman.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Bruce is the first one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, our view is to support small businesses.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
And we both like beer, and craft beer is, I mean, you can't get bored with it. No. There's always something interesting. People, you know, there are brewers who are always innovating and, you know, they're trying really hard to keep our taste buds demanding more.
Tickle
our taste buds.
And, cold gold, it's called. Cold
and
gold.
And when we do this, we're supporting small businesses, whether it's local small business or another state that, you know, send us some beers or brought us whatever.
Or Sean brings us these beers.
You know, I was going to say, I just finished up. I saw you guys were empty.
No, that's okay. No.
Guests bring us these things, you know, beers, whether it's not from here, but from your region, your area, you know, and that was our view. It's like to support small businesses, right? And this is something we enjoy. So that's a staple. That's like, it's an icebreaker.
Yeah.
And then the banter part is we just love stories and we'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Almost anybody. I wasn't going to get into the flat earth thing.
Fair enough.
That's the only one, right?
Well, I didn't want it to be a boring episode because I can see myself arguing.
Well, his whole platform is just arguing with people. That's what he does. He wants to tell you.
This guy.
Oh, you guys could totally do that.
We could, but then we're like, fuck, this is going to be a, you know, how do you win that? Because no matter what you say to him, it's always going to be wrong.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then if they ran an experiment and it didn't work, well, there's another explanation.
Yeah.
It's just right. Like, well,
power
on,
went
man.
Out. Power like, went out midway through. You know, or something.
They did this experiment where they're like, okay, if the earth is curved and we put these boards with holes in them and shine a light through, and it's curved, it should disappear. So I don't know how many miles they went to shine this light through the board of the hole, and then like they couldn't see the light. I'm like, oh, there's another explanation. I'm like, fuck off.
So one of my I want to say geography teachers back in high school did a thing where they took out a globe and they said, okay, so how did they figure out back in the 1500s, 1400s that the earth is round? Okay, so here's a little model ship. I'm going to, you know, drive it over the ocean here. Here comes over the globe. What's the first thing you see? Top of the sail, right? Uh-huh. Then you start to see more and more and more and more and more. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of explanations to or tests or facts to show it's around, and there's not enough to show it's flat.
So, yeah, I'm open to it if he had a valid argument, but like there's just not.
Yeah.
So I saw a really good video about that the other day, and they said, okay, if the earth was flat, we would all know about it because we would be inundated with advertisements from travel guides and travel tourism saying, hey, come to the edge of the earth. Take a look over the edge and see what's there.
Yeah. Dip your toe in.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, come to this one ledge. We sponsor it. Yeah. Come over and pay us money to come
and
see.
And then what would be there? Like once you get to the edge, well, like, what are you looking at?
Right.
I mean, is it space?
It's the dumbest thing.
Especially guys, they would be the number one fucking buying tickets. Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to want to piss off the edge.
Exactly.
Not only that.
Game of Thrones reference. Yeah. Thank you.
Not only that, we're just the biggest idiots. I mean, it all makes sense, right? There'd be a population of only women because we'd all just die.
All of us would be like, I got to see it. I know it's a bad idea, honey. Yeah, I just got to go.
Yeah. You got the trough.
I might not come back.
You got the trough at the dome, but you just have the edge of the earth. You're all just kind of like, look at each other. Like,
are we doing this, guys?
Three, two, one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. So then Roman was talking about... So the Instagram thing that you turned us on to is about the followers.
Why don't we jump in the beer first?
Oh, good call.
That Sean brought.
So this is peanut butter mind over matter. It's a double chocolate stout from Magnified Brewery. This one's actually from New Jersey, but I have fallen in love with this brewery. I've had
this peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter,
no jelly.
Should be peanut butter
chocolate.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
I'm gonna do this. Oh,
this body's too bootylicious for you, babe.
I didn't bring a.
Have you ever had those foam?
How'd I do? How'd I do?
There you go. Yeah. Hey, there you go.
You ever had those foam shots?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely have.
They've been having foam parties at the island.
Oh, really?
Like adults and kids, like there's foam. Like apparently with the adults, there's like people
lose
fingers in certain orifices.
Oh boy.
But they have these things for kids. It's just like this huge, like colored foam music. It's just like a party.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had students that have done that for their birthday parties and they have a great time.
Yeah. But what do you wash? Is there showers or something? How do you get off?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You go home sticky.
You don't go to the kids' parties?
What?
You don't go to the kids' foam party?
My son's older.
No, I'm just saying for you because you're...
Oh, fuck you.
Thank you again for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have to get under the foam a little bit there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is good.
Get the foam stash.
That's like a little bit of... Yeah. So it's usually a chocolate peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dessert.
I was going to say, it's got a little chocolate flavor to it, but that's why it should. It
comes in at 8% too. Like, and I don't get the booziness
of that. A lot of stouts, I don't really taste the booziness like that. Mm. You know, they hide it well.
Yeah.
Like porters are a little different. Mm-hmm. But porters are not very heavy and that's a misnomer because that's what they thought people did like in Washington and shit. Like, it's supposed to keep you warm, right? It's a dark beer, but it's not really thick.
No, not at all. I feel like the better crafted a high ABV beer is, the less you can taste how boozy it is.
Did you ever have stout beard? Did you ever have stout beard beers?
No.
He closed last year.
Oh, no.
But he made really good dark beers.
I mean, I think that's all he made.
Yeah.
Just like really, really big.
Just all
like,
dark stouts. And
I forget where he is now. Mike is with, he's with some other, I don't know what, we would all know the name of it. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. Okay. Like someone that's.
Like just kind of took him in and say, hey, I want you to do this for us.
Yep.
We were talking earlier about the evolution of the craft beer industry. And I feel like that's, you're talking about how they should like collab and get together.
To survive, yeah.
There. That started happening north of the border. So I told you guys earlier, born and raised Canadian from London, Ontario. And before I immigrated here, the craft beer industry in Ontario was undergoing something kind of similar where you had all these mom and pop breweries popping up in these small towns, but every brewery had like maybe one good recipe and the rest was just like, hey, we made a pale ale. Good for us. And so what ended up happening was these bigger breweries, as much as they were trying to support the smaller breweries were still going under. So the bigger breweries would just buy those really good recipes and just repackage it, but also like help these brewery owners kind of get out of it and not really take so much.
So it wasn't 100% selfish.
Right? No, definitely not. Yeah. No. It was well done. One of my favorite breweries north of the border is Steam Whistle. They're in Toronto. They only do a Pilsner.
I love Toronto. You love Toronto, right? Yeah. You love Toronto?
I don't know if I spent a lot of time there.
Have you been there?
I drove through it.
I thought we talked about this. Sorry, but yeah.
No, you're
I've been to Quebec.
So. Okay. Yeah, so finish your story because I got something to ask you.
So Steam Whistle, I used to live in Toronto before I immigrated down, right after I graduated. And Steam Whistle is, again, one of my favorites. It's nostalgia for me whenever I have that, you know, that first sip. We all have that one beer, right? And what they started doing when they realized that there was a big microbrewery boom is they started funding these microbreweries because they figure, hey, people kind of know about us, but if this whole industry can really get going, everyone's going to know about us.
Very smart.
It worked.
Very smart.
Because
you ride that wave for a couple of decades, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, like to this day, they're still a Toronto staple. Everyone in Canada knows who they are. Mm-hmm. So,
Is there a home brewery association in Canada?
I'm sure there is. I moved down in 2011.
When you were 12.
I don't know about that, but I didn't know a ton about the industry then. I knew like enough about it, but not a ton. It really took until like starting this beer account to really start understanding what was going on. So I'm sure there is.
So it was like 11 years ago you started your Instagram?
Five.
Oh, I thought you said 2015.
So I started this chat with my buds in 2015, but I didn't start until just after the pandemic. So it's been 5 years, but it's been a lot of fun. I have learned so much, but it's opened up
But just the people you meet.
Yes.
Like just, I mean, it's great. If nothing ever happens with any of this, you just meet good. And so this whole thing, this whole operation we have is mobile. We can take it on the road and we've done it, but you just get to go places, just meet people. We like architecture. We like good people. And I mean, it's a lot more work to do that piece of it. But it's just, that's what That's what's rewarding for us, is just to see what's out there. Yeah. You know, just to meet people anywhere, have the experience, because every brewery is different.
Yeah.
Farm breweries be outside, or like a high end brewer we talked about, Grow earlier. They got their place up north, and
yep.
or they had their place up north, and it's just interesting to be able to do that. But
it's community also, first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were going to ask something about Toronto.
Yeah. So right. And the short question is, you know, I know the relationship between America and Canada, mm-hmm. right? Because again, we love Toronto.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about America? So, did you move from Toronto to where? Not to where you are now.
Yes.
Oh, so where you're currently living.
Yep. Okay. So I after I graduated from my undergrad in a city called Sudbury, about 4 hours north mm-hmm. of Toronto, yep. where it gets really cold during the winter. I moved to Toronto after I graduated, and I was working there for a couple of years. And then I met my wife on eHarmony. She was in Seneca Falls, and fell in love. Our first day was Niagara Falls, and then I immigrated down. So.
Mm-hmm. Niagara Falls. I meet you at the border.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. It's a beautiful spot, right?
He came over with a barrel. a barrel age.
Right.
But all I'm getting at is, you know, I don't want to get deep into this, but how do you feel about the relationship with Canada and America? Because I want Canada to know that we don't feel the way about them, that our president probably feels the way about them.
So fraught, I think, is the best word to describe mm-hmm, that.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, my family, we did try to move north of the border after the election.
Yeah.
It took the Ontario College of Teachers. Again, we're educators. The Ontario College of Teachers denied my wife's application because even though she has 4 degrees, she's Dr. Mullen. Her study abroad experience wasn't perfectly annotated.
Yeah.
So we had to scrap the whole thing. So
is that a political thing, or is that like a...
No, it was just their own kind of red tape mm-hmm. sort of thing. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. But so we did try to move. Because it is so fraught, because it is so, again...
I get it.
I think you said it really, really well. The American people have a different opinion than Buddy in the White House.
Yeah, yeah.
All Canadians know that.
Yeah, I hope so.
They do.
Yeah.
They really, really do. That's why, like, when the booing of the anthem was happening after some of the comments were made, a lot of Canadians would go on social media and say, like, hey, like, we're not booing your people. We love you guys.
I got to be honest.
We really do.
I love the hockey thing because, you know, that was USA thing.
Yeah.
So
that was a lot of fun for me to figure out who to cheer for.
It was just a great game to watch, you know.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Top-notch hockey. Yeah. You can complain about that, right?
Yeah, because I know your boys are in that, right?
Yeah. So my youngest plays through Geneva. And yeah, we're weirdly up here often enough. We play against
you're Tyson. Welcome, you're welcome that, anytime so. You want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so it,
I think like
yeah,
a beautiful country, good people. There's no reason for neighbors to be like this.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what.
I just
fuck Northern Canada. Fuck all you fuck. That's so fucking cold, man.
Too cold for you.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I'm here and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
When my balls become my tonsils, no fucking way, man.
So in Sudbury, where I went to school.
That's Sudbury.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the campus is mostly connected because it gets 40 below every January and February, without a doubt. And I was in the res that was like not attached to that. So we would have to go down this path every single day whenever we wanted to go to class. Well, on those days where you just get out of the shower, you're rushing to class, you would have a beard of the water droplets.
Yep.
It was ice. You had to have an ice beard just in that 1 minute walk because that's how cold it was. So you finally enter the building, you're like swearing under your breath the whole time, like, oh, it's so cold, I hate this. Mm-hmm. And then you just shuff it all off and it just falls off your body. That's the craziest thing.
You're a better man than me. I don't swear under my breath. It's just out there. But that's like where Winter Walkers are filmed, like right from fucking Game of Thrones, somewhere around there.
It is cold.
I've never experienced like your whole beard freezing. I was in Maine in March, which is fucking freezing still there.
Yeah.
And we were hiking part of Appalachian Trail.
Uh-huh.
By the time we got to our first stop, which is a lean-to.
Mm.
For those of you who's listening overseas, a lean-to is basically 3 walls and a roof, slanted roof, and no doors, no windows, nothing. And it was like Taj Mahal.
It was warm?
Oh, it wouldn't. No, but just to be out of the wind, though,
just,
right?
Just, yeah. I mean, my beard... I looked like Santa Claus.
I bet, yeah.
And we pitched tents inside a lean-to. And when we woke up early in the morning, it was like you're in a fairy tale land because everything is crystallized from our breath.
Ice, right?
And it's like shiny.
That's like building a roof over your trailer when you got a tent in a lean-to.
Yeah.
You know, you ever see people have like a mobile home and they built a roof over it?
Yeah.
Except there's only three walls. Like it's wide open.
But some lean-tos only have, there's no walls. There's just a roof.
I've never been to a lean-to with no walls.
Aren't they on the Appalachian Trail and shit like that where you can hike it?
It's just the thing that,
so if it rains, the water just rolls off you. But there's no sides and there's no front.
So it's just like a canopy. Kind of,
but it angles down. It's 8 foot tall in the front,
mm-hmm.
but it angles down to the ground in the back, and there's no sidewalls and no front.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I've been to was,
had two walls on the side.
Has a floor like raised floor.
Oh yeah,
and three walls with a slanted roof.
I've camped in ones without even the floor.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, we built them, so it's probably the fun part.
Well, I was
probably about fucking 8% stuff.
I was in a lean-to, like a nonprofit lean-to association locally that would go and build these lean-tos up in Adirondacks.
Wow.
And they would, some locations we had to wait for the water to freeze, and then the helicopter would bring the supplies, and then we'd chuck it over and build it out there, you know?
That's an adventure and a half. Holy cow. Yeah.
Wow. But why would they have a lean-to and just not put the fourth wall on?
Well, because you don't want people like living, turning it into a house and live. Okay, it's like a community shelter.
Yeah.
Like there's an, oftentimes, actually I've never been to a lean-to without a notebook there. But there's a notebook and people would leave notes and about their hike and their experiences. Leave like, you know, here's a pot of like, I had an extra pot. So if you need to warm up some water for yourself, there's a creek, go to the left. There's a creek down there. So it's like a community shelter.
That's really
and
cool.
You can show up and someone's there already.
Yeah.
And if there's space, they're okay with you.
Remember that Sarah that we talked to from New Jersey?
So
she posted something today. She said, are there any of my friends who don't want to put their penis in me that would like to go on a camping trip?
God, Jesus Christ. It's sad that she has to say that.
Because she loves to do that, but it's just, you know, guys are fucking naughty, right?
It would be a little...
That's a shame. She's a really nice person.
Yeah.
We told her, like, be careful, man. Like, you don't know what some guys might say. Like, oh, yeah, I won't do anything. And then...
But like, good for her for like being straight up and upfront about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be like, hey, like if you were creeped out by this or like, you know what I'm talking about, see you later. Like,
yeah.
Or talk about it so people know, right?
Exactly.
Because it's fucking weirdos, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, because it can be that. It can be not that. Yeah. You know, it could be like, it's fine to have everybody with the same shared idea of like, let's just be in nature and like,
right,
make this happen. It doesn't have to be a sexual. You don't have to be a fucking weirdo, right?
No. Platonic relationships are awesome.
Platonic is the word. Yeah. See, that's an essay. Yeah. That's a second grade teacher word right there.
Takes a Canadian.
That's like 11th grade teacher word. I'll take credit for
it. It takes a Canadian to come here and teach us better words.
Yeah.
Because we're too dumb.
So we got to get back to the... Instagram follower.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So,
unless you want someone else to talk about, right?
No. I want to talk about how he helped us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the unfollowers thing is a big thing that I got a lot of heat for when I first started.
Really?
From who?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, so that's the fun part. So, I started because I saw another account out one other who I guess something personal really happened between the two of them. And the one guy dropped the other guy and it was a whole thing. I'm like, huh. He's complaining because he just got followed and then got dumped. He really feels this bad about it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when that happens to me.
That's a cup check, like whap, whap.
Yeah, 100%. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. So like, all right, so what if I went and found all the accounts that did this to me? And if they only did it to me, fine. It's like, that happens. People hate how I pour. I don't care. That's fine. But if they did it, and it's really obvious that they did it to like hundreds of other accounts, for their own benefit. Yeah. So it's a selfish thing that they're doing. It's a selfish growth practice. Then I'm going to out them.
Yep.
I'm going to put them on my stories. And I think I had 4,000 followers at the time. So enough to like make a dent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing this. And sure enough, I got heat. I got support. I got everything from all over. And when I like took a step back and like really figured it out. The accounts that hated that I was calling out all the unfollowers.
Were the ones that did. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's like going to the bar. Like there's eight of you. Everybody buys a drink except for the eighth person. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's what it turned into. And there were other accounts that like would out me, that bigger accounts that would out me and be like, oh, this guy's doing this. I don't agree with this. Instead of coming at them and saying, hey, man, it's not cool that you're saying this about me, I would message them and say like, hey, like, here's why I'm doing this. Why don't we have a conversation about it? Mm-hmm. And so behind the scenes, we would. Mm-hmm. We would have like a full on like 20-minute convo back and forth, just message. And by the end of it, like they understood why I was doing this. I understood why they were upset about it. And we both mutually agreed, this one in particular, we both mutually agreed to post that conversation on our story so people could see how this goes. And so it was a growth thing. It was a community builder thing. It wasn't a, hey, screw that person, I'm going to out this person for not thinking what I think. It was a, hey, we can actually have a conversation about this as adults. And even though we don't agree with it, we don't have to hate each other for it.
Yeah. And I give that person credit to agreeing to post this.
Yeah. 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 Oh, it had
that
to
was
be
a
both
private publication.
Exactly.
Private communication. Sorry.
Yes.
And that's good.
Yeah. I agree. I gave, it was one of the girls in the Beerstagram. I gave her all the props in the world. But they couldn't
see what the problem was. Like they didn't know they were just following people to grow their own account and then unfollowing.
That's
kind of the heart of it, right?
That is exactly what it is. So those are the accounts that I can't stand.
Yep.
An unfollower is somebody who will follow a whole ton of accounts and then drop them 3 days later, expecting the accounts that follow back to just blindly
forget that they did not see. Yeah.
Right. So it's a selfish growth practice. Right. It's not a two-way street. It's a one-way street. I can't stand it. I hate it.
And that's what's considered organic. You're not getting some sort of bot follower and bullshit like that. So, you know, that's how they're doing
that
it.
That always makes me wonder when you get those ads like, oh yeah, we're going to guarantee you 10,000 followers.
Yeah,
you know, like
they're all bots.
So yeah. Like, what do you actually get?
Exactly.
So we're going to get like 12 Sean Mullins.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I've seen that because there's someone who we also follow. It's one of our followers. And I was like, how the fuck do they get thousands of followers?
Yeah.
So I go look at their followers.
Tens of thousands.
The same profile photo with different names.
Yes.
I'm like, how are you? Like mm-hmm.
They're farming it out. And it's not organic. If you look at their posts and all their posts are getting like 20 likes a post.
Exactly.
It's like, what's the point? What are you doing?
Exactly. How do you have thousands of accounts and then you make a post and you got 5 likes?
Right.
Well, because people see like, oh my God, this guy's got, you know, 20,000 followers. They don't go in and see who the followers are.
Exactly.
You know? I don't like that. Like, I wish Instagram would come up with a better tool to prevent that.
I completely agree with you. There are third-party apps that will go into your follower list and find those unfollowers for you. Mm-hmm. But Instagram will lock you out if you use that too often. It happened to me. I was locked out for a whole week because I tried.
Like, why is Instagram encouraging bad actors?
We were locked out like a bunch of times at the beginning, remember? Because so many people wanted to follow us, they thought that we were not real.
Yeah.
Like, we got locked out for a month.
Really?
Yeah. You know, we did this first podcast or we liked it and then you kind of get the, and then like we got like 400 or 500 followers in like 3 days.
Yeah. It was
and they
like
thought
a
we were a fake
of,
account.
But that's organic growth.
Right. Like
people just want to see your stuff.
Yeah. And then we got jailed. I'm like, what the fuck would we do?
That's the dumbest. Oh, yeah. My God.
And of course, and the AI probably decided that.
Like, hey, you know, they're like farming something.
So it's so frustrating.
Ooh, we know the hot buttons now.
Yeah.
Well, no, so, that guy didn't have a hot buttons.
Well said. No, I've been doing this unfollower thing where I out them. Maybe once every 2 or 3 months, I'll go through my list. It is now a process. It is such a process.
For you to get rid of the people.
For me to find them.
Mm. So, on your profile.
On my account. So it used to be a lot easier. Yeah. Now I use an Excel spreadsheet, a couple of them actually. And I use a website called ListDiff. And what I'll do is I'll download all my information, not all of it, but like my follower and following lists. Mm-hmm. And I'll go through and I'll get rid of like all the dates and stuff. Because like when you do that, there's a lot of other junk in there. But if you can just hone in on the names, then like right now I have, I think just 8,200 followers and I think I follow 6,500 accounts or something like that. So I'll whittle it down to just the names of those. I'll put them into the two different lists on Listif, and it'll show me the accounts that follow me and I don't follow back, because I don't follow everyone back.
Yeah. But not because you're selfish.
No, right. No. Like if like personal accounts, I feel weird about following a personal account back. Like, do you really want some beer guy in upstate New York to see pictures of your kids?
Right. Like, right.
Yeah, it's strange. And like we've been doing that kind of, because I always feel like, well, they followed us on a return of favor.
Yeah.
But do they want it? I mean, they can unfollow.
Yeah.
Or no, they can. I don't know how would that work. They would message us, but like, okay.
It's really like,
you want to put the effort in and say, hey, would you follow me back? Okay, well, look at it.
Yeah, sure.
Or if they're following you, they know like what they post we're going to see. So maybe right. they just don't care. I mean, they're like, maybe. Whatever. I like what these guys
do. But they might follow our shit just because they like our stuff.
Exactly.
Not because they want to follow back.
Exactly. Right. And I think you guys are in a perfect place for that to happen a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where people are just like, hey, these guys are in Beeville. I like what they have to say. These guys are funny. Mm-hmm. They show awesome beers. I want to see more of that on my feed organically. Yeah. They don't need to like a picture of me going water skiing today. You know, like,
yeah.
So it's been a really interesting experience diving into these unfollowers, because I've learned a lot about the community from that, not just from the awards. I learned a ton about it from the awards, but from the unfollower thing, because you'll have accounts that have 20,000 followers and only follow a couple thousand. Well, people are following that account because it's organic. 20,
yeah.
Right. Like they like what they're doing. You'll have accounts that are businesses. Like, hey, I just opened up a restaurant and we serve craft beer. I'm going to follow all of these beerstagrammers. So it'll look like I have a lot of people who are interested in my beer stuff. And then I'm going to drop them all later.
Yep.
I used to out businesses like that or some breweries, and I don't anymore because we're hurting as an industry.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
But it's going to happen again when you come back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. But for those accounts that do what the rest of us do and just post a picture of a beer, here's this beer. I drank it. It's super cool. Here's the stats on it. I gave it this rating.
Yep.
Like, there are thousands of us out there. Why would 7,500 accounts really, really, really like your stuff and you only follow 1,000 back? No.
Right.
You're doing this.
Yep.
And that's not cool. The 6,500 other accounts need to know this. I'm going to be the one to do it. I'll be the bad guy. Yeah. I don't care.
And that's okay, because those other people, you know, they're the perpetrators, right?
Yeah.
They have, you know, they're a better financial situation than sort of us smaller guys. You know, they can be able, you know, they're in a position to be able to, you know, absorb hits and losses like that. And we're not monetized, right?
Right.
Like, you know?
Right.
But maybe they are.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you get 10,000 people, that's when you start posting links and shit like this, right?
Yeah.
You know?
There's, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the number that everyone shoots for. I feel like businesses who look for creators have changed up their entire mindset. Instead of looking for how many followers you have, they look for how many likes per post you have or comments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to clarify, you're right. I'm talking about Instagram specific.
Oh, yeah. Right. Agreed.
Right.
And is it still 7,500 cap?
That changed a couple months ago. Now, I don't know what the cap is, mm-hmm. if there even is one. I mentioned Beer Jimmy earlier in this. Mm-hmm. He was at that 7,500 cap forever, and all these new accounts kept liking him and following him and following. And he's like, guys, like, I can't like everybody. Like, I'm literally up against this wall. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, magically, one day, the whole thing went away and he started following all these people. He's up to like 9,000 followings.
So, okay, when did this fucking guy take a nap? Like, he's never tired. He's got so much energy. He's always like, fucking, hey, Beer Jimmy. Like, he's like,
yeah. So I got crazy. To meet him in April, and I consider him a good friend in the Beerstagram community.
I didn't know there was a fest for him either.
Yeah.
Because we could do this.
This is the first one ever. And do we have time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Does he have it during Porn Star Week? This is Porn Star Week in Vegas, too.
No. So it was like, this whole thing came about because, so first of all, Jimmy's like a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Like, he is just like that energetic, that positive all the time. The whole Beer Jimmy Fest came to be because, my friend,
what a great name.
Right. my friend Matt, he lives just north of Sydney in Australia. Actually, I'm wearing a shirt right now. He was like, hey, so, I've got to be in the States for business and I really want to go see our friend Jimmy. I haven't met him yet. So I'm going to go to Reno for a couple of days any chance you can somehow shake free and do this.
Phenomenal.
So, my wife has met him and his wife, Matt and his wife back, and we're friends. And she's like, all right, Sean, like, clearly this isn't like a you and I going, you're just going to have to go and see your friend. So if you can make enough money through your Beerstagram account to go and do this, go ahead. So I was able to promote enough stuff and I earned enough money and I, sure enough, I did it.
Yeah.
And, So Jimmy knew that Matt was going to be there. He then learned that I was going to be there and he's like, well, we're going to make it a party. And so he started.
So the fest wasn't even until this?
Yeah.
You guys started the fest?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's never done this before.
Okay, okay.
So all of a sudden he starts contacting his family, his friends in the area. He's friends with anybody who's connected in the beer industry in the Reno area, like anybody. Yeah. So he's contacting these people. They're like, oh, we're going to send you this. We're going to send you this. Starts contacting some of his Beerstagram friends as well. They're like, well, I can't make it, but I'll send you something. I'll send you something. Yeah. And so his he has three beer fridges. They're all full for this thing.
I know. And his walls. And,
yeah, yeah.
It is as legendary as it looks.
Beer camps, right?
Yeah.
Do we have Beer Jamie's sticker?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
It's not here.
Yeah.
It's in the studio.
Yeah.
We grew. We got a bunch of different ones.
That's awesome. I'm not surprised even a little bit. Yeah. So he starts inviting all these people. And so Matt and I knew who was going to be there from the Beerstagram community. So like we knew what to expect, but so many of these people coming in had no idea. So the party starts on a Friday.
Is it house? His house?
Yeah, it's at his house in the garage. It's all in the garage.
A couple of years from now, I was like, maybe next year won't be at his house.
No, next year will not be at his house. We already talked about it. But his wife Tracy is amazing.
It's the same thing, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Like she was all on board for this. Her friends were there too. Her family was there. Like it was so much fun. It was just this whole night of positivity and nobody really went overboard. There was one guy who he was, I think he just had surgery, so he was on meds. He had to leave early, but like everyone else was in full control.
That's what you need. That's really important.
For sure. Yeah. There was one
cool. You can be drunk, but if you're still not an asshole, that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Get this. So you have the three full beer fridges. There were three other coolers. One had water in it, and those of us who were with it use that quite a bit, myself included.
Yeah.
And then there was a cooler that was brought in by this company that they had like Hetty Topper and Pliny the Elder and like all these like name beers.
Yeah, nice.
And then there was one cooler that was only for Imperial Stouts. Only Imperial Stouts. Yep. And there were like 40 of them in there. And Jim's friend, Tim, his job for the night was to walk around with a new Imperial Stout every single time. Everyone had a glass for whatever beer they were drinking and a little shot glass. And he would pour the Imperial Stout in your shot glass and you got to have a little bit of everything.
Mm, okay.
If you ever cracked a beer for this, like went to the fridge, went into a cooler, cracked a beer, you didn't drink the whole thing. You drank like a third of it and then you found someone else to enjoy it with you.
Nice.
So it was a whole big share of that. Yeah. It was like the most organized yet positive, cool experience you could have drinking, and everyone was friends by the end of the night.
That's
everybody.
Great.
That's probably the most control with that amount of alcohol.
Yeah,
conceived.
Yeah, again, nobody went overboard.
Yeah, that's good.
We helped clean up a little bit before the end of the night. Matt and I were crashing at a hotel, and when we got back, we're like that was one of the coolest beer nights we've ever had.
Nice. That's great. Those stories, because we did this with Beer Babes in Delaware.
Oh, good stuff.
You know, we met with a couple of ladies that represent that organization, but then Matt from Pennsylvania and Sarah from Pennsylvania. Porch Beers USA.
Yeah. Oh, I was just on a call with them a couple weeks ago. Great guys.
Keith and Coop.
Keith and Coop. Yeah.
Oh, those guys are phenomenal. But that was a whole, or Apex Brewing. I don't know if you follow them.
Mm-hmm.
They're a small account, but the Andrew and his wife, they're great people. By the way, he's pregnant again. She's pregnant. He's not. but there's you meet these people. It was a great fucking day. We're Rehoboth Beach area, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we were.
Yeah,
that's
Dewey. Big Dewey.
Yeah, Big Oyster That's Brewing. Awesome. They gave us a six-tel to sponsor it, and we were just on spot. Like we're just talking. And they just fucking gave it to us. Right?
That's
amazing. It's just such a great thing. That's what I like. I mean, we don't want anything for free, right?
No. Exactly.
But, it's a great community. I love it.
Amen.
But maybe we'll have to go to Beer Jimmy Fest. This is invite thing or what?
Yeah.
It was this year. I don't know what he's going to plan for next year. I know he definitely does not want it to be at his house.
We will pay Jimmy to invite us.
Yeah, right. Like it was, I mean, there were like 60 people there. Yeah. But he also set like good parameters. It started at 3. It ended at like 7 or 8. So it wasn't going too late.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of us were there to help set up early. Like,
wasn't he overseas not too long ago?
Who's that, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I
thought he was overseas recently.
I don't know if traveling. He was.
I don't remember that either. But I thought he was in Florida. I knew he wasn't in Florida now, but I thought he was somehow
at some point. One of the guys that was there is seen at night. His name is Mark, and he's in Florida.
Did Jimmy go see him?
Maybe, or they do a lot of collabs together.
Okay.
Maybe?
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, we got other things going on. I mean, I would love to make this our full-time job.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
However, so that's not the case yet. We got enough beer. Like, so if there's apocalypse, we could fucking house you and your family. Like, serious. Like, look at the beer we have, right? And all that stuff sitting there. Like, I mean, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good for a while.
We haven't bought beer in a while.
No, I don't think we bought
beer. It's funny how that happens sometimes, right?
I don't think we bought beer since we've been in here, and it'll be a year. It was a year 2 days ago.
Hey!
Yeah.
Congratulations!
Oh, here. Well, yeah,
happy birthday!
Yeah, so we have not bought beer.
Happy anniversary!
Yeah, we've not bought beer. So
cheers, guys! Good stuff. That's really cool.
It's like I said, it's a good community. But I like to meet the people, and we like to travel, and you know, our families travel together. It's just fun, good. Right? You meet, you know, good people meet good people. I say it all the time.
Well
right? said. Because once you meet someone's not a good people, you're not good people. I don't want to meet you again.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? It's interesting nowadays, and I've talked to my wife about this because she's gone to some of these meets with friends that they've met online.
Mm-hmm.
You're meeting strangers for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, we've been always told, avoid strangers, right?
Right,
as a kid,
right.
Like, don't go into strangers' cars.
It's like a five-year-old, right?
Now we have Uber. You go into stranger cars. Don't meet strangers online.
Or they drive away when you're trying to get in the front seat.
All that happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, they're all getting in. Our families are all together. They're all getting in. I'm getting in the front seat, and the guy's driving away. It's not even like he doesn't realize the back door's closed. I'm trying to get in your fucking front seat, buddy. He's fucking taking off.
I'd lose it.
That guy was weird, though.
He had like 140,000 reviews.
But he never said a word to us. He never said a word.
He was having a bot reviewing him. How the fuck do you get
that's
this?
That's so stupid.
Like, he arrived, like, we opened the trunk, put our bags in
there. Does it confirm who you are?
Yeah. And then we get in. Is he on the phone with someone? I think he was on the phone with someone, too. And then he almost drove off with Frank. And then we're all, like, sitting in the car.
I'm holding on the door, like, hopping.
Like, just screaming, come on, man.
No, I didn't say fuck all, because I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in the front seat. I'm going to punch you if you're trying to, you know, hijack my family.
Yeah, yeah.
And Roman.
Well,
his family. I don't give a fuck about him.
There's a minivan, and yeah, so we're just kind of like talking to each other. He didn't say welcome or how's everybody doing. No greetings, nothing. We arrive.
Weirdest thing.
And then we open the doors, we leave, we say bye, thank you. No, not a word.
Right.
Not a word, just...
I think he's got some sort of app where he can review himself.
God. I feel like that's the first step of having an Uber driver.
Yeah.
You say hello and like make small, pleasant, happy, positive small talk for a little bit, right?
But like where I was going with this is today where we can meet strangers online and meet in person, like today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to call you stranger, but
no,
we've never met in person.
No, but we've talked a million times online, and you kind of get to know somebody, right?
Right.
But
you meet these people in person for the first time, 60 of them, right?
Yeah.
In a different state.
Yeah.
And mix alcohol with it, and everybody right. was friendly and nice. Everything went well.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask for...
And everybody's pre-vetted, because you could see that.
Jimmy absolutely pre-vetted. He did not invite certain accounts, but he knew the good ones to invite, and he hit the nail on the head.
And so you think about this, right? I mean, I think about it all the time. You're in a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do. But I like to sit with my back to the corner so I can see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a threat. I know you do the thing with the...
Oh, yeah, because you guys are ex-military, right?
No. But we're into all the security type stuff.
Beer military.
There you go. I'm just saying, like, all right, if Sean's a complete asshole, all we do is just shove this table right into... Right, just knock, knock,
no,
knock.
No, exactly.
I mean, you always think of an exit thing. Like, sure. I don't know. I mean, maybe someone's doing it to me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't come to that, then we're not spilling your beer.
Yeah.
But, like, you just try to think of a plan. Like, you always got to... If you just... And I actually envy those people that have no plan because it's they're probably a lot less stressed in life. I have a lot of emotional, mental baggage. Like I'm always just thinking. Like you don't sleep well. We're always up at night. We're texting each other at 2 in the morning. Hey, did you get this? You know, did you turn the bird cap side? It's so fucking stupid. It can wait till like next morning.
Yeah.
But you're just thinking, right?
Yeah. No, I get how your mind can just race and worst case scenario, all of a sudden, you know, go down that slippery
slope. Situation awareness.
Yeah. 100%.
I just try to plan it out and it's never going to work out the way you want, but I'm going to have a general idea.
You know?
It's funny because my wife notices when I'm processing like all these scenarios. Because she just sees
it going on behind
me.
She sees
like, because there could be nothing going on, but someone's voice, few decibels too high to trigger it. And immediately I'm like, okay, exits, who's where, you know? And, and she goes, all right, what are you planning?
And I'm like, my wife does that, but she's like, don't think about touching me there.
They love us.
Yeah.
They do love
us. But there are lines.
They know exactly what's going on behind the eyes. My better half does the exact same thing. We'll be watching a TV show and all of a sudden I'll like go off onto my own, like, there's a tangent there. There's a tangent there. She's like, honey, we're watching a show.
Yeah.
you're right. Love you.
It's hard to shut off. It's hard to shut off. I wish I could. I mean, apparently I'll do it, but like, it's just, it's so much easier to be able to deal with life.
Yes.
If you could not have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a crazy world.
I think it's the world and the societies that we live in that I think causing this anxiety or this alarmness in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
For some people.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Sucks. Sucks.
Yeah, but it's better that you have a plan than no plan.
Yeah.
And maybe don't use it, but like at least you're ready. You know?
I think that's why, like when I'm on vacation, I'm never like rested enough. Like, if I'm not home, I'm super light sleeper.
Okay.
I'm the other way.
Like in a hotel room,
cannot.
I'm the other way.
Unless I'm drunk, then.
Oh, yeah. No, this stuff knocks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm the other way.
Like, but when I travel, like when I recently came from a vacation and I'm like, man, I haven't gotten rest and I've been waking up at 4:30 every morning because there's all this work piled up from vacation, you know. But I'd like to, I got to find a way to sleep.
You're the same way?
I'm more like you, where when I'm at home, I'm thinking about, all right, so this is happening tomorrow and, you know, my kid's got to do this. But then, you know, he said this is a conflict he's got going on. So how do I parent him through this and how do I do this? And my wife's thinking about this. How can I help with that? And like—
But you're a family of four.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You got pets?
We have one dog. Yeah. Right. So we always say I have two boys and a girl.
Yeah.
And my girl is sometimes the most demanding. She's a black lab. older now. She's 8 and a half, but still. Yeah. So you go through those things in your mind. But then when you're at the hotel, it's like, all right, I just got to drive home tomorrow.
Well, or for me, I'm in this room. Like, I don't have to worry about someone coming in the basement. No one's coming in the sliding door because I'm on the fifth floor. So I'm sleeping next to that door because I'm the first one they got to get through.
Do you have a pet as well?
That's my pet, that little guy.
Oh, yeah, there. Okay, perfect. Okay.
Underneath me, because that's like Roman's dog over there is like 3 or 4 times the size of mine, but the AI.
Yeah, no, you had to even him out. Yeah, so you have, that's a lot too, right?
No, well,
I have a mutt. He's a mix.
But he's a German Shepherd.
Yeah?
He's a mix. He's Shepherd.
Right.
Okay.
Mine's a pug.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but like, would
his
dog
poops my dog.
Like, would like either of your dogs like totally just like if somebody was rattling the door handle, just lose their mind and start barking?
Yeah.
See, I
mine will never bite.
Same with mine. But like that gives me a lot of like pause at night. Like, all right, if somebody's really trying to break in through a window, my dog's gonna lose her mind.
Yeah. I had three dogs at one time.
Holy.
One couldn't hear, so the two will start. And then she hears because it's loud. She's like, whoa. I'm like, you don't even know what you're barking. Like,
her bark is probably like,
what are you barking about? Now I got three dogs.
You just want to be part of the fair.
Like a sexy wolf, like a wolf.
I was trying to teach one of my dogs, sorry.
No, you're good.
I was trying to teach one of my dogs not to randomly just bark at every bystander who's walking by, right?
Yeah.
So, and then a friend of mine was watching my dog because I was out of town and my dog's name is Dexter. That one. And then he was standing at the window. He was like, Woof.
It's not a woof with an exclamation point. It's a woof with a period. Wolf.
Yeah.
Mine's woof exclamation point when my wife gets out of the shower.
My friend.
I think all men are like that. All happily married men are like that.
My friend recorded my dog. He sends it to me. He goes, I think your dog's broken.
Oh my gosh. That's really good.
But I'm going to ask you this and we can end it afterwards.
Yeah.
When you travel.
Yes.
And you're staying at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You do any other like lockdowns? Like, do you do anything else with your door when you lock?
I mean, aside from the padlock and the,
yeah,
the
like
one little
chain.
Yeah, like, the chain. Yeah. No.
Do you?
Yeah, we have other.
I'm crazy.
Like, surveillance like type shit.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I love.
But it's very cheap and it's very easy. I'm not like setting up camp, spending 2 hours doing this.
Yeah.
But like something that's gonna be like an alert.
I'm assuming you don't want to say what it is because it's a podcast and like it's your alarm.
No,
system.
I just rigged.
That's interesting.
I rigged the door every time.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Like,
really?
I rigged.
No one's coming in a window, right?
If someone
in a motel in the basement.
Sure.
Like if someone comes in. They'll either have a hard time or they're going to make ruckus and I'm going to hear it.
Yeah. Same thing. This is not like, I'm not throwing like ice buckets and chairs in front of it. There's things you can buy. Like you, yeah. I mean, I'm not hiding it. It's just, you can
see. Even
can
Airbnb. I was at my friends and I, we went to Watkins Glen. We go to a racetrack when IMSA travels.
Yeah.
After Le Mans race, 24-hour race in France, the following is here in Watkins Glen.
Hmm.
So a lot of those racers are here. So we go to these events and we get an Airbnb. So I slept in like a finished basement, but there was a door. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck, like someone can come into this door while I'm sleeping. You know, so like I rigged the door so they can't. And if they opened, there was like a vase that would fall and break.
Yeah. So like something would trigger. Yeah.
Did we do that in Canandaigua? When we were there in February?
I was.
Because our families travel together. Friends.
And that was one that I told my wife. I'm like, man, they're going to wake up in the morning and be like, what the fuck is wrong with Roman?
Or you get like one of the, I know that don't really exist anymore, but the plastic bags. And you just kind of stuff it under. I did this. God, where was we? I forget where we were, but like you stuff it just kind of on your half of the door. Mm-hmm. That way you know that whenever it opens, it's going to make the plastic bag sound.
Yeah.
And it's going to wake somebody up. Or at least wake
I'm
up the dog.
I'm afraid to like.
Right.
Sleep through it. So I do something that would make a lot of noise.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Something either going to make a lot of noise or difficult for you to come through.
But you've got to be a pro to be able to get in these hotel rooms. It's all digital. It's all electronic. So yeah, but you really got to try.
There's a guy on YouTube, man. He shows how he can easily breaks into doors and locks and shit. And I'm like,
too many people know.
If he does that and someone can watch it, they can do it.
But there's like 10,000 views. Like 10,000 people know what to do.
Right. No, he's got millions of followers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right. But someone like that, you know, you're not in the mind to begin with if you want to do this. But someone like that, you think they're probably casing out a room. Like, you know, like, all right, so, okay, this guy is with his wife and you know, so there's a guy, I'm not going to that room.
Yeah.
But here's an airline stewardess, like she's by herself. Like maybe that's the type of thing you want to do.
But I also wonder sometimes like a receptionist could be in on it.
Yeah.
And then they see the kind of people that are going in.
There's cameras.
So then they call their people like, hey, room so-and-so. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You're going down the slippery slope, but I get how you can get there. Cause like when you're thinking worst case scenario, it all falls.
Or the doors they have the rooms they have the adjoining doors.
Oh, I hate those.
Don't you fucking come in that door, buddy. You know, like one where you could.
Something like families are together. They want to sleep separately, but they have access without going into the hallway, kind of creating a rocket.
Cruise ship. Cause you're on the deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever ran a cruise?
No. It kind of. So I love to travel.
It was a dinghy.
Well, not this one. So we went to, my buddy and I, this is before I met my wife, we went to Egypt together on one of these Kentucky tours.
When it was safe.
Yeah, you know, right. This was a year before the Arab Spring, actually.
Mm.
Like 1 year, almost to the day. It was crazy. But part of the tour was we would fly down or take the overnight train down to some place almost in like South Sudan, like it was that far south. And then we would take this Nile cruise kind of coming back up to Cairo. And that's the only cruise I've been on. There was food on it. We would stop off at different places and get out and like see some cool stuff. But like, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
It was 3 days maybe.
Yeah.
That's traveling is fun. That's why, you know, I want to go see more Canada.
My goal before I croak is to hit all 7 continents. Oh, no. And I'm 2 away, so.
Oh, you'll get it.
Oh, you got time.
Yeah,
we'll get it. Your wife probably said, if you make enough money on Instagram, you can go.
Something like that, yeah.
And you can take her with you.
Yeah, right.
Sean, thank you so much for taking your time
from
your family to come here. And
first time meeting, right?
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Love that we met in person, and it's a great conversation. Good insights. I love what you're doing for beer community. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Things you want to add?
Please follow me on Instagram. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll put the Instagram name in the description.
Oh, thank you. Keep supporting the beer community, everybody. There's a lot of talk about how the community has been faltering over the past however many years or so. But starting to pick up. I just read a study that Gen Z is starting to drink more. So I think we might be in the clear. We'll see.
Okay. But the passion for these people is unmatched. Brewers, these owners, like it's not just a job. I mean, it's a livelihood, but they love doing it. People say, love your job, right? That's what they do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So keep supporting your local breweries and cheers.
Thank you, Sean. Quick thank you to our sponsors, Apex Property Management. Thank you guys for sponsoring us. FM Realty Group, appreciate you as well. Presidium, new sponsor. Presidium Logistics, thank you guys. Of course, thank you to Bullfinch for your beer and sponsoring this podcast as well. Hopped Up Network, we appreciate you.
Drink NY Craft.
Drink NY Craft. I love that Frank's here because... that's a lot of people to thank. And I miss them, so thank you.
Yeah.
Drink and White Craft, if you go to drinkandwhitecraft.com and you use brews symbol end, what is that called?
Ampersand.
Ampersand, brews and banter, you'll get 10% off from your purchase order. And
come see us at Taste of Beeville on, I don't know the exact, I think it's September 26th.
September 26th.
But it's noon to... it's noon to 10.
To 10, yeah.
And we the...
there's going
to
be live music.
We're the media sponsor for that, so it's a great time. It's only $2 to get in.
Easy peasy.
That's fucking great, man.
$2.
It doesn't get up.
I think cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts is $3 something.
At least.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, good stuff.
And thank you to all of our followers on Instagram and all social media, to all of our followers who continue to listen to our podcast, including overseas. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, support our podcast by purchasing our merchandise on brewsandbanter.com. Just click on store and all the merchandise you buy, all that money goes right back into the
podcast. That includes you, Germany and UK and
Australia, New Zealand.
Good stuff.
Again, thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
Sean.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get 2 2.5 quart or 3 quart mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.